Katie Hunter from MMA UK. I'm here with Adam Bramwold. Adam, you've just been awarded or signed the golden contract with Cage Steel, the first ever one they've done, a 3-fight deal. That must feel amazing.
Yeah, it's something we've sort of discussed over the last couple of months. Danny and I, my coach, we've been sort of looking for something like that. Yeah, it's come at a really good time. We need probably sort of 2 or 3 more wins, good wins, to contacting the big promotions. So yeah, it's a good way to do it. And because Cage Steel's at my home, it's in Doncaster, so it all seems like it's a really good idea. It's good for them as well. And I've been with Cage Steel since, I think, their third show they did. I think I fought, it was my second amateur fight. So I've been with them ever since then as well. Yeah, it's good for both of us to do.
So it's a 3-fight exclusive deal with Cage Steel, is it?
Yeah. So there are 3 shows this year I'll be fighting on, yeah. So I'm going to headline the one in March. And then they're going to Sheffield Arena in July. And then back to Doncaster Dome in December. So I'll be fighting all 3 of those for them.
So that must feel like a bit of an honour to be the first one awarded this by them.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it picks up well for them, because I think they're going to sort of doing it as more of a trial with me. They wanted someone local that can sort of help promote them at the same time. So hopefully I'm setting it up for someone else, like an amateur or sort of a new pro, to do for them as well. So I need to make sure it's rewarding enough for them as well as it is for me.
Yeah. And obviously we've seen Jamie Foldin, who's fought on the Cage Steel card a couple of times. He's going on to Bellator, fighting in Dublin this month. So there's obviously a clear progression there.
Yeah, I mean, Cage Steel have had a lot of fighters that have gone from there and then to the UFC as well, or to, sort of Cage Warriors. You know, talking like Scott Askham, he fought on their first card. Scott Askham fought on there. Danny Mitchell fought on there as well.
Yeah.
And they are a growing promotion still. I think I went to the second one, but I fought on the third one, and I've watched it grow as well. And I think they're a really good show, and the promotion of it and all the production of it as well is really good.
Yeah.
Needs to sort of get out there now and make it bigger. So I think this is a good idea to get a lot of eyes drawn to them from outside of it. You know, a lot of other fighters are going to look at it. And because when you talk about, like, you know, a big contract with a decent figure of money in it, going to draw bigger names to it, and they're going to want to find it, increase their sort of overall viewership and that.
Well, I know they've got grand plans, and they've already done that show in Sheffield Arena, and they've already kind of established themselves as, I hope they won't mind me saying, but like the next level down from the the really big promotions. There's somewhere in between kind of the local shows and those big shows. And obviously, you could be a big part of them propelling themselves forward. I think they obviously do want to make it to the next level.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always going to be difficult to, without piling a lot of money into it, it's always going to be difficult to move to that step. So this is a great idea. I don't know if you've ever been to one of the Doncaster shows. They are so good. So you get some good fights as well. And just the atmosphere. And the production of it's really good. Like, they make it look good as well. You went to the Sheffield one, that was good.
Yeah.
Just about, the Sheffield Arena is the next step up. If they can sort of get to the point where they're getting a lot, getting, 10,000 people in Sheffield Arena, that's like the next stage up for them. Because the dome's packed when it's there, but your sort of capacity is like 1,800 people, 2,000 people. They do first, really good, but that is the next stage.
I think at some parts of the day, at the one at Sheffield Arena, there was more people there than when I went to see ACB there.
Yeah, I fought on that one at ACB, and there definitely was, yeah. ACB tried to do that sort of thing in the UK, but it was just a little bit difficult for them to attract, and that's the difficult part of a promotion. Most, unless you're talking like the UFC or Bellator, most people get to support fighters. Rather than general fans, which which in England there aren't that many just solid fight fans at the moment yet. We're still growing in England. So, when I went to Sweden a couple of months ago, they were all just fight fans. Like they cheered everything I did, even though I was fighting a Swedish guy. They were sort of like as a nation a lot more into it. So yeah. At the moment, it's just about attracting like a British audience that aren't just there to watch one person.
Yeah, I mean, because we've all seen like by the time the main event comes on, sometimes if it's not a local fighter, then you know it can be empty from all the people who've fought before's fans leaving.
Like even when they've done well and they've sold out, which they have sold out a number of times.
Yeah,
people that want to watch the entire show, you know what I mean? So it's just difficult to attract that audience. Obviously, it's always going to be, most of the time, it's going to be the fighters promoting it and selling the tickets and stuff. But, you know, yeah, it's good to, the next stage is just getting anybody that doesn't know anyone fighting, they just want to go watch it. You know?
Yeah. And what was it like for you walking out at Sheffield Arena? Like, that must be, obviously, you said you've done it for ACB as well. Like, you've already had that taste of a big show. So do you feel like, you know, you're ready for those really bright lights?
Yeah. I mean, the fight I did at an ACB in Sheffield was awful. I mean, I lost in the first round. I got submitted. But I fought on their show in Glasgow as well the year before. That was really good. But it was good to be in the arena, like the big lights and that, like you say. But it wasn't packed. You know, it wasn't full.
Yeah.
The ACB card. But yeah, I think I'm a lot of the time, like, you know, I rise to the occasion. I don't really feel that much, you know, in terms of nerves or anything, but I love it. I love, you know, walking out and just embracing it all and that. Like, that's one of the reasons, like, for me to get the chance to just retain with them and fight for them.
Yeah.
Especially on the Doncaster shows, because I absolutely love it there. It's like I said, I live not far from Doncaster, so we get a good crowd and a lot of people know me, because we get a lot of local fighters, they all know me and that, and it's just an atmosphere that's amazing, you know, just it's really good, and that's why I was absolutely happy to sign with Cage Steel and do it like that, because I love fighting the show, and I know Dom, I've known Dom a long time, I know him personally, you know, we speak a lot outside of fighting and that, and it's good. I like fighting for him. I like, you know, fighting on his show and promoting his show and doing everything I can for him as well, because he's done a lot for me at the same time. And
yeah,
you know, together. So it's good for us. I think it makes a lot of sense for me to be the person to get this contract and you know, and kind of try and help him get to the next level as well, as well as trying to just push me to the next level as well.
Yeah. Well, you said you rise to the occasion. You're 8-2. You're on a 6-fight win streak. Your only losses, you spoke about one there, but your only losses as a pro have come to either somebody who's already fought for a Cage Warriors belt or somebody who's about to fight for a Cage Warriors belt. So,
yeah, I mean, I've not lost to anyone bad. I mean, personally, for me, those losses, they weren't really losses to me. There was more about my. You know, I was a little bit mentally not right for fights, though. Well,
right.
the Sheffield one, I was absolutely fine for. I felt amazing for that one. I just got a little bit carried away. I got a little bit too excited for that one. Like, I was anything that was just about finding a balance for me. Like, if I'm not switched on, then I'm vulnerable. But if I'm too switched on, I'm vulnerable. I need to be like that happy medium for me. And I found that over the last over the last 6 fights, I've really found that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just turning it up now. I'm like, I'm starting to get to that level now where I'm really comfortable with wherever I'm in the fight or anything like that. So
yeah, because you didn't actually have that many amateur fights before you turned pro, did you?
No, I had. I was 7-3
before.
No, I was 7-2 as an amateur.
Oh, okay. Maybe they're not all on Tapology.
No, I don't. We're quite up and. But properly up and running then, well, as efficiently as they are now. I had 9 amateur fights, but that was over 3 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the last amateur fights, that was in a tournament made for the Cage title. And I fought twice on the same night, and I fought two really, like, one guy was 5-0, and I beat him in the first round of it. And then I fought a guy that's now fighting on Brave, and I lost a decision to him. So it's, so like those levels of fights, I just thought, well, I may as well turn pro now.
What's it like to fight twice in one night? And would that be something you're up for doing again?
I don't know, as a pro, but you know, if it was right, you know, if it was worth it for me, but I don't know. As an amateur, I didn't mind it, to be honest. I was super fit, and I dieted really hard. I made weight on, like, because we had to weigh in on the day as well.
Yeah.
I was so small. Like, I dieted right down to, I can't do that now.
Was that at bantamweight?
I was at bantamweight. I've grown since, so I can't really do that on the day now, but.
Yeah.
But I was so fit, like, my fight went three rounds in the first round, and the guy that I fought in the final, he beat guy in 20 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
And then we did another three rounds with him. So I did six rounds that night, 6 3-minute rounds, and then
How were you feeling the next day?
Oh, it was rough. It wasn't even the day, it was like a week. I just felt feeble. I was trying to move, and I was just felt like I needed to stay in bed for a week. But yeah, it was a good experience, and like I said, I fought two of the best amateurs in the country at the time.
Yeah.
Now one of them's a really good pro. I speak to him quite a bit. He's fighting in Brave now, and he's really, really doing well. And he was good at the time, and he's actually a black belt in jiu-jitsu now as well. So I'm not. I don't mind. For me, a loss is okay if it's against someone good and you've given a good account of yourself, sort of thing. I thought I'd actually won the fight, to be honest, but it doesn't matter now. But yeah, I, as a pro, I don't know if I'd be able to do it. You know, it's with a potential for, you know, 6 5-minute rounds. That's a lot.
Yeah. The same day weigh-in as well, that's savage.
Yeah, as a pro, I don't think we're allowed to weigh in it on the same day anymore. But.
No. So tell us about the next Cage Steel event that you're fighting on, when it is, and where people can watch it.
14th of March at Doncaster Dome again. They've not announced the fight yet, so... I won't say anything, but it's a good fight. You know, he's got a good record. International guy again. Yeah.
You can't tell us who it is yet.
Yeah, I mean, I probably could, but I mean, I don't even know how to say his name, to be honest. But but yeah, he's I can tell you where he's from Venezuela somehow. But he's fighting so many for this fight so far. We've only just locked an opponent down. We had started off with a Frenchman. He tore his knee. Then we had two Brazilians, a Chechenian who couldn't get a visa, and now we've got a Venezuelan who lives in Spain. Some world top.
Well, at least he hasn't got as far to come then, if he's only there.
Yeah. it's a really good fight. It's a Doncaster Dome, and I'm not sure if they're going to do a pay-per-view for it. I think they've done it before, but I don't think they bother now, but you can get tickets from me, or I've got a link for him.
Oh, we'll post the link in the comments under the interview then when it goes up.
Yeah, I'll get that to you. It's gonna be busy. Like, you know, I should have over 100 people just coming for me, and I probably know about 8-10 people fighting on it already. You know, it's a good card as well. We've got Louis Lee Scott. He's turning pro as well for us. So he should have a big following. It's gonna be pretty packed, I think. But yeah, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to the fight as well. You know, he's good, but I don't think he's like special. I don't think he's quite special.
How do you train for, like, you know, you just said you've had that many changes of opponent. Do you even watch footage of your opponents, or?
I watch a little bit of them just to get a feel for them and that, see what they're good at.
Yeah.
But for me, like, the level I am on the feet, I most training camps are exactly the same for me, you know, just working on keeping things on the feet, keeping it standing. Because I think, you know, like, MMA guys, they don't really train real stand-up. They don't, you know, they just train with their coach who's an MMA coach who, you know, trained a bit of Thai boxing and that. Like, whereas I've trained since almost the start of my career, I've trained with a stadium Thailand champion who's actually a Thai, John Pop. He runs a gym in Leeds and Kaip Phan Thiep. He runs one in, well, he doesn't run it. He runs one in Leeds and then he's got one in Bangkok as well. So I've trained with him, you know, doing actually traditional Thai boxing over the years, and I just feel like I'm a completely different level on the feet to most people, especially, right. You know, especially in England and especially in, probably in Europe. I don't think the Europeans are that good on the feet either. So really, the game plan for me is exactly the same most of the time. Oh, I'll just get his ball. Yeah. So the game plan for me is mostly the same with everyone. Now, over the last couple of years, I have been working on my grappling a lot.
Yeah.
For me, it's about keeping it on the feet and beating people that way.
But yeah.
I've just been like preparing on the sidelines for the ground stuff and that.
Yeah. So if you are that keen to keep it on the feet, you must work a shitload of takedown defense, I guess.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
How much of your camp does that make up? Like, because wrestling must be a big part, you know, if you want to keep it standing.
I'll do, you know, I'll probably wrestle, well, I'll wrestle once and I'll train on the ground twice a week. Then I'll do a lot of cage wrestling as well, because I find that it's easy to sprawl on someone if you switched on.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when they get a hold of you and that. That kid I fought last year, he was from Sweden. He was absolutely huge. And I just couldn't move him. So I thought, you know, I go to the drawing board a little bit more after that and keep working on that. And I think, you know, I'm hard to keep down. But it's just about adding it all together and working striking. Because I think it's quite easy to defend a takedown when you're not punching. But it's more mental for me, I think. If you have it in your head, like I try and teach this to people, I try and get this into it. You need to have it in your head that you've got to sprawl on someone. It's not about having a good sprawl. It's about sprawling before they've shot. So right. I have to work it out. It's just being one step ahead of people.
So you spoke a little bit earlier about moving on to like one of the top main promotions, like maybe at the end of this contract. Have you got anyone in mind?
I haven't got any people in mind. You know, it's gonna depend a lot on what's happening at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm realistic. We're realistic with the goals. Hopefully, if we by the end of this contract, if we've won all three of them, I mean, on like the rankings, what the big promotions go off. You know, I'm pretty close. You know, I'm ranked highly on that. I'm top 10 in the UK. And, I just need to beat a few more Europeans, because everyone below me on there is, either Cage Warriors or Brave or UFC. So it's I'm actually above someone in the UFC as well on that. So
who's that?
Davey Grant. I'm above Davey Grant. Mate.
Oh yeah.
I won't fight Davey Grant, I don't think.
Davey's pulling you out.
I've met him a few times. He was on my plate. I watched him fight in Croatia, actually. He was on my flight on the way home. I spoke to him. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really thought about people who will fight, because there's that many people in the UFC now. It's, we'll sort of cross that bridge when we come to it, but we're looking at, you know, sort of getting on a UK card, so I don't want to get too late. But, you know, it's all sort of if we can get to that point.
Yeah.
I think, you know, with Cage Steel, we can sort of, we'll be getting good fights, but, you know, I think there'll be fights that I'll win. Well, because they're going to be hard fights, but, you know, the way it's going at the moment, I really do feel pretty good about winning the next three.
Yeah.
You know, like, won my last six, and I don't really feel like stopping yet. So, hopefully, I think by the time we've won three, we should be right on their radar, and they should.
Yeah.
It should be the calling is up and that. to get us on. And obviously, with being a UK lad, I think they'd put me on like a hopefully an England card, because that'd be amazing for me. Or even a European card, I don't care. Just, you know.
Yeah.
I'd go to America. Yeah, you know, I've never been to America.
I saw you tell someone on Twitter that Australia's on your bucket list to fight.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I really want to go to Australia. Yeah. I do have a bucket list of places to fight, but yeah, I just love to go to Australia for a week, and I'd love to fight there as well. I mean, Australia's an amazing place. I really do want to go. Yeah, I don't know. That guy's from, he's from near me, but yeah, he lives in Australia, and he was like, you'd love to come to fight in Australia. You need to fight in Australia. I was like, yeah, I'd love to fight in Australia.
So what else is on the bucket list besides UFC, besides Australia?
For fighting?
Just in general.
I don't know. So much riding on this. I've got so much going into this. I don't really know. But yeah, Australia. I'd go to Australia without fighting. I know. I do want to visit a lot of places, to be honest. And if fighting takes me there, that's just an absolute bonus. Yeah. So.
Do you train full time, Adam, or have you got a job as well?
Job. My family own a jewellery business, so I'm like a jeweller there. So I train in the morning, then I'll work till 4 o'clock, and then I'll drive and train again. So I'm not. We're not at the point where we're paying the bills yet, but you know, this year's probably the first year I actually make like a profit off fighting. Because the amount of money I spend on travelling, and you know, because I work in Sheffield, I live the other side of Doncaster, and I train in Leeds, so I'll do like a big 150-mile travelling triangle every day.
Yeah. So, petrol must be.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, but fighting's an investment, isn't it? You know,
I've
got 24 fights now, and sort of all getting real now. It's all, you know, it's been, obviously, when you start, the goal is to be get as far as you can, but for most people, it's not realistic at all. And to be fair, for me, I didn't feel like it was realistic, you know, until sort of, last year, last year was a really good year. I kind of found my balance with everything, you know, with making sure I felt good when I was training. Because a lot of the time I'd be turning up to training and I'd just be there to be there, you know. Now I've kind of found like a balance where I don't feel too, you know, drained. Like every session's making me better rather than just being there, you know.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to train sort of every day, well, every, you know, every morning, every night. If you're not feeling well when you're training, then there's no point really doing it. It's not really helping, so don't bother. You've got to find a balance. You know, and
is there anything in particular that like changed your mindset or made you kind of switch on to that balance?
I don't really know. I mean, just kind of changed it up, because I was feeling like terrible when I, you know, like, it gets to Friday and that's like our main sparring day, and I just didn't want to be there really. So I started sort of just like taking a session off like in the morning here. I wouldn't force it basically, and I wouldn't deprive myself as well either. I wouldn't starve. I wouldn't, you know, if I wanted to have like a beer on a weekend or something on a Saturday, I'd do it, and I'd just feel like it got to Monday morning, I'd be ready to go, and I'd just feel amazing all week.
Yeah.
And I just found a really good balance, like with my life and with training and that. And now I just feel amazing. Like I felt a lot better fighting, like sparring, when I'm training as well. Like just like mentally, I just feel a lot more switched on. And I think that's basically just like a happy fighter, a dangerous fighter. Like that's what I tend to think of it as. Like you don't have to bash into this stereotype of, you know, we eat chicken and rice every day. We sleep, go to sleep at 9 o'clock. We train, whatever. Get up at this time and run. It doesn't work like that. You know, you need to be happy to be a better fighter, I think.
I always think just the chicken and broccoli alone is enough to make anyone depressed. Yeah. If people are really eating that for the whole of fight camp.
Yeah, that's it. And people get too obsessed with it. You know, if you want to eat something that's not in your plan, do it. Just, you know, maybe, you know, just make up for the next day. Don't, that make me feel better. I know I don't want to get up at 4:30 in the morning on a Monday to go boxing if I haven't had a nice bit of food or a beer on a Saturday. You know what I mean? It's just the way it works for me, and I've found that balance, and now I'm training better than ever. Like, even it might be training a little bit less, to be honest, but I'm training a lot better. Like, every session's a lot more worthwhile.
Yeah.
It would be.
Well, I always remember Bisping saying that he felt like he was overtrained for almost all of his fights.
Yeah, and Michelle was getting there.
Yeah, and then he won the belt when he'd been filming a movie and, like, yeah, didn't really have a proper fight camp.
Yeah. And you see it with a lot of people. I mean, like, so Donald Cerrone is someone I like to go off. Well, Darren Till, he's good for it. I think Darren Till's a really good example of, you know, I put a post on Instagram about it, and I mentioned those two in it. They you know, they're not purists. Too many fighters try to be purists and it just makes people unhappy, I think. Unless you're like super motivated and that. I mean, we're all motivated, but I think you fall out of love with the sport too much if you're just not enjoying your fight camps and that. You know, if you're not. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Darren Till and Donald Cerrone are good examples. They enjoy their life at the same time. They don't just train and go to sleep and be bored. And because you, like I said, you just fall out of love with it. And I think maybe that happened to me, you know, a couple of years ago.
Well, how many MMA retirements do we see? And then it's, you know, like a while later they're away from it that everybody comes back. You know, it's a running joke that MMA retirements don't last, but it's almost like people have to rediscover that love for it again and do it because they want to do it.
Yeah, it's such a massive part of your life. You can't just switch it off. I mean, I love having a couple of weeks off after a fight. I mean, I had all of December off. I drank every single day over December. It was great. But like, by the time you get to, you know, a couple of weeks, you think, right, I need to get back into routine now.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to, like, recharge yourself rather than you see people have a fight and then they're in the gym the next day. It's like, have a day off. You know what I mean? Don't do it. Just you think people expect you to do it, you know. That works for me.
Well, I'm really happy for you that you've found that balance. I'm happy that you're more in love with it than ever. You've got this great contract and the future looks so bright for you. One last time, tell people the date of your fight and we'll try and drop the link to your tickets in the comments for this interview when it goes up as well.
Yeah, so fighting for Mark's Doncaster Dome. I'm the headline fight for it. It's a good fight, you know. I'm looking forward to it. It's a good test, and I think it'll be some fireworks in it. As always, I'll try and do something pretty cool. Get a good finish.
It'd be hard to top the last one.
Yeah, well, I'm racking up some good highlight reel finishes now.
Oh, 100%.
So just gotta keep trying to top them, just keep trying to beat them, give some people something to woo about. That's what it's about for me. But to cheer, be like, that's what I like. Rather than winning, I like entertaining more than anything. And that's what I'll try and guarantee every time. There's a really good card on. You can either get tickets directly from me or, yeah, there's a ticket link that I'll send you. Yeah, so don't for March.
Thank you so much for doing this, Adam. Good luck with camp. And we will see you soon on the 14th of March.
Thank you very much. See you there.
Thank you.